You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, my friend? I hope you are having an absolutely outstanding day as we get to hang out and dive into this conversation that I'm so excited to share with you with the gentleman, and his name is Case Kenny. And I'm not going to lie, this is one of my probably favorite conversations I've had on this podcast. Case is just a great human being. He is an aware homie, which you'll learn more about that in the episode. But to give you a little bit more of the background of Case, he is the host and the founder of one of the most popular podcasts right now. It's called New Mindset Who Dis. It's been on the Apple Top 25 chart for several years now. On top of that, he is the founder of the New Mindset Journal. And you may also recognize him from Instagram. He does quotes on coffee cups, on post-it notes. They've gone literally beyond viral. And on this episode, a few things that we dive into, which I know you are going to love this week, is some of the things we dive into is how to figure out if right now you are living the life you're supposed to live, or if you're living the life that someone else thinks you're supposed to live. We get pretty deep into this idea. It's a really interesting idea and concept. And we also talk about the beauty of starting over. Sometimes you can go and do a new chapter in your life, and it's one of the scariest things. And there are so many incredible nuggets you're going to get in this episode. If you are in that place in your life right now, you absolutely need to listen to this piece. And also, we talk about how do you just grow self-awareness within yourself. It's one of the, I believe, best skills you can have is being self-aware about yourself and continuing to become more self-aware. The more self-aware you are, the further ahead you're going to get in life. And honestly, the more that you're really going to enjoy your life. So on this episode, there are so many incredible things you're going to get. If you are not already, we would love for you to subscribe to the show. Come hang out with us every single week as we bring you a couple episodes, new content every single week. And I promise you, if you join us, you're going to enjoy the ride. So without that, we are going to dive right into the episode. And here we go. Case Kenny, welcome to the show, man. I'm pumped to have you here.
Hello. Thanks for having me, man. This is great.
Absolutely. So as we kick this thing off, I figured we could start with, like, do you remember the first time in your life where you felt like you knew what you were supposed to do with your life?
Yeah, I would say so. But I would say it's actually pretty recent, to be honest. I'm 34. I would say 30, 31 really found it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So recent.
Okay. So what did you do? Because obviously there's 30 years before that of, you know, not quite known. So I'm curious for you, what was your first step into like your professional sort of life and your like, because it sounds like maybe it wasn't what you felt like you were supposed to do, but obviously you were still taking steps forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, 20s, I worked in advertising. I worked in advertising sales. It was great. It was pretty fulfilling in the sense of, you know, when you're good at something, like you get fulfillment from it. There's no denying that. And whether you love it or not, there's always fulfillment there. I was good at sales. I just found I was good at it. I was good at leading a team, managing a team, and, you know, made money. So I felt good. You know, there was nothing inherently wrong with it. It just wasn't that like soulful thing, that purpose. So I did that for a while and it felt good. But amidst that was when I, on the side, started to be like, well, you know, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or am I doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing? Am I my truth? Am I living someone else's truth? Am I borrowing? Kind of had that moment where I was like, I need to figure that out. So I'm almost 30. I was like, yeah, this has been pretty great, but like nothing would be worse than looking back when I'm 50, 60 and regretting just kind of how I viewed the world. So I started the podcast. Honestly, starting the podcast, which has become this meta thing and that it's my thing, was what really opened my eyes to the fact that, hey, maybe I'm kind of borrowing other people's definitions of happiness, success, everything. So really just kind of leaned into that when I was 28, 29, and then, you know, did that and kind of really opened my eyes, and the rest is kind of history.
Yeah. What do you feel like was your, like, you said you were doing what you were supposed to do, or what you were doing, what other people
thought you were supposed to do? Like, what did you think other people thought you were supposed to do? Because I think it's an interesting thing for anyone listening to this, that it's a huge thing, I think, that happens for a lot of people. Is it's like, you at some point get to the realization, if you're lucky, of like, okay, I need to actually do what makes me happy, not my mom, dad, sister, uncle, teacher, whatever. But a lot of people, I think it's easier said than done to make that switch. So I'm curious for you, like, what is it that you were pursuing that was their definition of success?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, also caveat, like, there's a certain level of practicality with life. Like, it's easy to be like, well, I'm supposed to be living on a tropical island. Like, we could delude ourselves into these things, right? Where, you know, I don't need to pay taxes. And it's like, no, like, let's get real for a second here. So, yeah. I mean, like, you know, I got to create a financial foundation for myself and do these things and, you know, be smart and you know, pay bills and everything like that. But, you know, for me, it was, you know, coming to the realization that, like, I was doing what I was told to do, get a job, buy a house, date, things like that. Like, even on the dating front, like, a lot of my content that I do now is around dating, just because it's one of those things that we do a lot of the times just because we think we're supposed to do it. And yeah, there's a certain biological component there, but, you know, we should date with a reason of why we should date, you know, we should, and it's the same with careers and everything like that. So I look back and it was like, you know, working a job because I was told to work a job. Of course, you need money to survive. But it's like, why was I working that job? Why wasn't I doing the things that I knew I really wanted to do? Writing. I always wanted to be a writer. I wasn't doing that. Why not? Why wasn't I at least trying to do it? Why wasn't I doing both of them? And then, like, in my late 20s, early 30s, I was single for a couple of years. And I remember even when I was single, I was like, well, this is what it needs to look like when you're single. If you're a single guy in Chicago, you need to be going to the club, doing this, doing that.
Yeah.
And I was like, do I need to? Is that really how I want to be single? And it turned out no, but it took me a while to really discover that. So it was like little things, not like massive things. Like, you need to be a doctor. It wasn't necessarily that. It was just, you know, the blueprint that we think we're supposed to follow comes a lot of the times just from observing other people on social media. Oh, that guy's a single guy in his 30s. I should try to be like him because he looks happy. Oh, I should try to be like her. Oh, I should work. Like, we just borrow these things, and it doesn't make us bad people in any sense. But taking a step back and really determining what was true for me was big. And I found that for me, the best way to do that was talking through it on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And it's one thing I'm curious to hear from you too is, I think there's a part of us that never really wants to have deep, honest conversations with ourselves as we go through our life, right? Because there's this, like, knowingness that we all have within ourselves if we're willing to dive and search in that space. But it's, for a lot of people, one, it's definitely not societally normal to be like, oh, you're asking yourself these, like, deep questions about, like, who you are and, you know, all this stuff. But obviously with your podcast, that's what's given you this, like, freeness. It is what I'm feeling it gives you, right? And so I'm curious, like, what do you think is the importance of people having deep, honest conversations with themselves? Like, not with anybody else other than yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you're describing what I'm so passionate about and everything that I create from. Like, that is mindfulness. But a lot of times we think about mindfulness and we think mindfulness is self-awareness. There's a big difference between being aware of something and getting to the root of it. Like, I talk a lot about mindfulness, and like, mindfulness is in the word, is to be aware, right? We could be aware that, man, I don't feel very fulfilled in my life right now. Man, I feel like I'm not living my truth. And we stop there. Like, we're like, oh, I'm good. I'm self-aware. But it's like, what do we do with that? That's like, when I think about mindfulness, I break it down like this. Mindfulness is self-awareness. But to take self-awareness to the next level, you need to get radically honest with yourself. Okay, I'm not feeling fulfilled. Let's take it to another level. Let's get honest about the cause, the attachment, the conditioning. But that's still not enough for me to make a change in my life. So when I think about mindfulness, it's mindfulness is awareness. Awareness is honesty. Honesty, that is honesty as a catalyst for change, is the practice of asking yourself why and answering it. So to say, I'm not fulfilled right now, that's not good enough. You have to get to the core of it. Well, why? And then you keep hitting it with why, until you find some semblance of clarity that you can act on. And that is the power of change. But to your point, it's uncomfortable because it'll probably show you times where you took the wrong turn in the road,
right?
Times where you invested energy in something you hadn't. And that never feels good. No one wants to look back and be like, man, that was a wrong decision. So it, you know, takes a certain level of vulnerability. But I think ultimately, if you can get on the track of practicing mindfulness, you're always giving yourself that dose of clarity, which in the present, I think, is so well served that in the future, you'll never look back and regret it, because you're always operating from something that at least is driven by a desire to be truthful for you,
yeah,
not to someone else.
Interesting. So I'm curious for you, what's a moment in your life when you went through the, because it's a beautiful way you've broken it down, right? You have mindfulness, awareness. Awareness comes from honesty. And then that's where you get like the clear actions. And again, I think one of the ways that it stirs us up is it's like sometimes you get that honesty and it's in direct competition with like the beliefs that you have. And it's like, wait, I got this thing that's saying like, do this thing, but no, like I am programmed to be this way. But this honesty is saying do something that's against my programming. And it's like, it's the hardest thing in the world to do, right? Because the truth we're getting from ourselves is the truth that is so against everything we know. It's this really weird thing. And so I'm curious for you, could you like walk us through a moment in your life when you sort of did this process to yourself, or a moment that you see, like how you see this happen to a lot of people? Like if there's like, oh, everybody always does it in this way. Like, could you give us kind of an example of that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say for me, like, yeah, I mean, finally tapping into honesty and why, and coming up with a conclusion that is likely in stark contrast to what you've been doing or how you've been conditioned. It's super tough because the conclusion that you got to make from that, if you embrace that new truth, is you got to start over in some sense, right? You've got to start a new chapter. And we are very averse to starting over because starting over in our minds is this term, is this practice that reflects failure. It reflects you messed up so bad. You invested so poorly in the wrong things and the wrong people that you've got to start at zero. You got to start all over again. And I'll give my anecdote in my life about that. But what I've learned is the power of starting over. Starting over shows that you're in control of your life. And starting over is much less about what you're leaving behind. And it's much more about what you're bringing with you. Namely, the things that we're just discussing right now. The new truth, the new empowerment, whatever it may be. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, like truly honest, we'll realize that we're bringing a lot of great things with us. But in the moment, starting over is this very scary, uncomfortable thing.
Yeah.
I think for me, like I mentioned it earlier, but I worked in advertising sales for a long time, worked my way up from an account executive to a regional vice president, led the whole team. And like a year ago, I quit that to do this full time. And that was a big thing because in my mind, that was a big time start over.
Yeah.
At 33, that's no joke, especially when you've invested a lot of time and success in that. That's no joke. But I think what really pushed me to do that was realizing that starting from zero is never the case. You're never starting from zero. There's that quote that says, you're never starting from zero. You're always starting from experience. And it's like, I sat down and just did an inventory of everything that I was bringing with me, namely everything that I learned, everything that I had built on the side, everything, all the standards, boundaries, everything. I was like, man, the only thing I'm starting over from is literally just the job title. Like now I work for myself. Like, so, you know, I'm sure other people find a similar journey. It's like, it's very scary to start over, but it's the most powerful thing you can do in reaction to a mindfulness practice. But you've got to sit down and really take inventory and give yourself some freaking credit. You know, we need to hype ourselves up. So, it's tough. It's very tough. But I think the more that we could be practical about it, the more we can embrace like logic instead of, you know, that fear-based reactionary type vibe. It's great.
Yeah.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love.
go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
And I think there's a piece of, like, a real piece of judgment that comes in too, right? Versus you may have all these people that family, friend, they're like, wait, you're going to leave this thing you've been doing for 8 years. You're crushing it in to do, like, what, you know? And it's, there's a sense, like, I had a mentor early in my day and he taught me this thing. It was called rhino skin. Because I was starting to get into, like, entrepreneurship. And he's like, when you go down that route, like, you need to have rhino skin. And rhino skin, it's so tough, you could shoot it with a bullet, it doesn't penetrate it. And he's like, that's what you need to have as you go throughout your life. Because if you're going to do things that aren't, you know, normal or what people think you should do, people are going to judge you for that. But the reality is, like, it's your life at the end of the day. So, you know what I mean? They're not going to be 50 years old being like, man, I'm so regret that, like, you know, student live his life the way that he wanted. Like, they're thinking about their life. So you should do it in the same way. And I think a really powerful exercise I want everybody to capture from what you said as well, for anyone that is in that space right now of like, okay, I'm thinking about leaving, I might, you know, transition, is I love how you said make like a pros list of what are all the experiences I have? Like, what are all the skills? What are all the assets I have? And I think when you can clearly see that, it almost shifts your mind to the sense of like, wait, I'm not starting over, because that's the big fear. When it's, you're not starting over, it's a job title switch. That's it.
Yeah. You're evolving to the next level. You're going to the next chapter. Yeah. I remember, my mom made a comment when I quit, and she didn't mean it, but the power of words are words. And she said, oh, you're like, you threw that away. And I actually really appreciated that she said that, because in the moment I was like, no. And I know that, like, a younger, less evolved me would have really been like, man, maybe I am throwing it away. I'm throwing it away because I messed up so bad that I need to start over completely. But it's exactly what you said. I was like, no, because here's everything that I'm bringing with me. I am discarding the waste. I am discarding the thing that isn't serving me any longer. And I'm evolving to the next level. We're going 1.0. We're going 2.0. How could 2.0 be zero? It doesn't compute. Let's go. And, you know, and again, I'm a very practical guy. This wasn't a story of me being like, you know what, I need to chase my soul and do this thing. It was, you know, I planned it. You know, I made sure I had the bases. Building. But at the end of the day, it was still a big thing. And anytime, whether it's a big career change or going from a 10-year relationship to being single, or, you know, losing someone close to you, like, yeah, I mean, these things are very, very tough. But I think taking a step back and, you know, I talk a lot about facts and feelings, like how to differentiate between the two. You're going to have a feeling of fear of, you know, all these things. But again, come back to what you described, that pros list, which is what you're bringing with you. Yeah. The facts could include those. The facts could include what you believe, things like that. And just like really comparing the two and being like, nah, like, this is a misguided fear. Here's where I belong. Let's rock and roll here and see where it takes us.
Yeah. Love it, man. One thing I think that's powerful to understand too is like, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Regardless of if you left that job or not, things are going to change. Things in your life are going to change. But it's like, are you going to grow into, like you said, case 2.0, 3.0, 10.0, whatever it is? Or are you going to allow change to kind of throw you around? Like, you have to be willing to put your foot in the ground and say, okay, I get the mindfulness, I got the awareness, I got the honesty, and like, holy shit, this kind of scares me and like freaks out my whole belief system, but it's not a start over. It's a job change that I'm bringing things into it. And so, so many freaking nuggets, man. So let's keep going. So I'm curious for you, you started the podcast 2018, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So 4 years, and it wasn't until 2021 that you left the career, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So obviously, you started the podcast, things started to do very well, you're crushing it. So I'm curious for you, where was your mind and what was the approach for you as you started to go, okay, I got this podcast and the business I'm doing here and it's crushing it, but I'm going to stay? Because one thing I think that's so, I love that you've said a few times is that you're very practical, because I think there is a sense of, in society, like, hey, just jump out and figure it out and like, it's always going to work out. But there is a very important thing, like you're saying, to be like, let me be practical and strategic. And obviously it's worked out for you to do that. So could you walk us through that a little?
Yeah. I hang my hat on this a lot. Like I, you know, in entrepreneurship, there's all the kinds of people that are like, if you're not all in, you're all out. you know, to each their own, like go off, like it is what it is. I don't agree with that because here's like, I've been in business building and entrepreneurship for a decade. And what I've observed in my own life and that of the others is that, especially when it comes to full-time job, to side hustle, to quit your full-time job, to full-time hustle, if you're not leaving with leverage, you're in a very weak position. And when I say leverage, I mean that mostly of financial grounding, but that of like knowing what you're building, knowing what you stand for. And like the most practical way I think about it is like, if I were to quit my job right when the podcast started to have a glimmer of success, and like, oh my God, I could sell a sponsorship for this. I could sell this and that. I'm like, great, fantastic. If I were to quit that day, when you're in entrepreneurship, every dollar you make is a result of your effort. It is very sink or swim. And I could just see the path laid out in front of me with no leverage there, being like, well, I need to take that deal. Yes, I'll do anything you want. Yes, I'll sell this. Yes, I'll sell that. That I guarantee you it would have destroyed my vision for what I was building myself. I would have, no offense to influencers, I would have become just another influencer, throwing around this, throwing around that. But I was very stubborn in that. And I still am stubborn, maybe too much so. It's like, I don't want to do that. I want to be a guy who builds things, who builds products and services, and I sell those and I do my thing. And that's how I make money. Not because I need money, so I will sell your mattress company. That's leverage. And the way that I built leverage was, one, through continuing to work that job, 401k, money in the bank. And two, 4 years of practicing what I preach and building the brand and knowing what the brand stood for. And not being like, well, you know, I could change it because I need money. So I really do think, you know, making that jump, there's no right time. There's no right when. I would just take a good hard look in the mirror and make sure you have some kind of leverage, whether that's financial leverage so that you don't, you know, sell your company for $1,000 just because you need the money. Or, you know, emotional leverage in the form of what you stand for. I'm big on that. And it took me a little longer than I wanted, of course. I wish I was in my 20s when I did it, but I'm thankful now. I really am.
Yeah. And you got decades left. So a lot of time to build on it. So I'm curious, what happened in 2021 that all of a sudden you go, okay, it's time?
Well, I would say 3 years in of podcasting plus. So in the middle, at the very beginning of COVID, I was like, you know what? I built this podcast. It's a top podcast. I've got this following. I'm doing this thing. I need to build something for people who care about what I have to say. So I sat down and I built out a series of journals, printed journals, mindfulness journals, my own variety of journals, and launched that on Indiegogo in January of 2020. And then really found my groove in April of 2020. So much so, I mean, it went from zero to mid seven figures in like 14 months. It blew up. It was insane. So namely that, I was like, wow, this has some real legs to it. And then at the same time, I mean, like, it's a weird thing, but like COVID really, put mental health in the highlight for people. And I had this podcast that was mental health, and the podcast listenership tripled. So did everything else. And, so that kind of showed me that there's scale to this thing. And then I had the leverage. And I think also I just felt so unengaged at my job anymore. They were always really good to me and really supported what I was building on the side. But at a certain point, I was like, I'm not really serving that much value here anymore. I would much rather really take a risk. So it was like, let's do it. Let's just do this thing.
Love it. So cool. So, or do you have something else to say?
No.
Okay, cool. So one thing I'm curious, and I love the kind of like format in which you do your podcast, right? Where it's like a lot of your conversations you're having with yourself and people getting so much from that. And obviously a lot you talk about the mindfulness, the awareness. And I would be curious, and we've talked about a few of them, but I'd be curious if we could like nail down three. What would you say are three ways someone listening to this right now could grow their awareness around like themselves and who they are?
Oh, yeah. A lot of different things. I mean, I make a living from journaling, but only because I realize the value of it. There's something just so different, man, about having a thought in your head versus having a thought in your head and writing it down. It just makes it real. So journal, pick up a journal, whether it's mine or someone else's or a blank journal, and give yourself a prompt, like power, so much power. So I would say that. I mean, I would throw out the easy ones of journaling. I would say therapy, things like that. Just having these conversations, radical conversations. But it's like, life is this funny thing, right? I think we'd all agree that in some sense, life is about finding answers, right? Life's about growing up, finding answers. But we kind of forget the process there. And that in order to find an answer, you need to ask yourself a question. You could certainly bump into an answer on the way, but if you're not asking yourself questions, it becomes a little ambiguous, right? So you have to find a way to be asking yourself uncomfortable questions to what we've been talking about here. Questions that might make you realize, oh man, I am wrong. I am wrong. And, you know, there's, you know, I do journaling, leadership, mindfulness sessions and things like that. I've got a million questions that I think people should ask themselves. I think the talent I've been given in life is coming up with questions. It's an off menu talent. You won't see listed anywhere. You want some questions?
You said you have a million, so let's go with 1,000. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Let's just a couple. What are a couple good questions people can ask themselves?
So many, man. I mean, like, you know, one of my favorite exercises I love to encourage people to do, it's like, what are the words you use to describe yourself? And most people will be like, you know, I would say, what are the words you use to describe how you want to be? And people are like, I want to be happy. I want to be successful. I want to be confident. I want to be fulfilled. Great answers. I encourage people to say, all right, why don't we replace adjectives with verbs? What are the verbs you would use to describe yourself? I'm the kind of person who blank. Fill in those verbs. I have a ton of reasons of why I do exercises like that, namely because adjectives are really, really tough to be. And when we're not happy, we get down on ourselves. But verbs are these things that we can control. I'm the kind of person who shows up every day. I'm the kind of person who volunteers to go first. I'm the kind of person who shoots my shot, so on and so forth. Things like that, like the word, like how do you describe yourself? What are the words you use to describe yourself? You know, what is your goal in life? Like, to my point, most people say, like, I just want to be happy. I think that's great, but I think we could do better. I think we could do better in the way of, my goal in life is I want to be proud of myself. And I say that specifically because I can control that. I can't control response to that. I can't control the randomness of life, but I can control the little things that I do. And I think I think the whole objective of mindfulness is to make you proud of yourself in some sense so that you can trust your decision-making. And I think that comes down to a lot of the, you know, conditioning we have, the attachment we have. And the only way to overcome that or evolve through it is to be aware of it. And I think journaling is a great way to do that. You know, therapy, talking to aware homies, like whatever it may be, listening to a podcast like this, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's interesting. And I love when we talk a lot about on this podcast, like the power of questions, right? It's like your brain is wired to answer questions. So if you ask a crappy question, you're going to get a crappy answer, right? If you ask a good question, you're going to get a good answer. And so I think it's so important, just like you said, to like make sure you're asking really good questions of yourself, who you are. And it's interesting because they've also done studies that show 50% of your, like the patterns you have and the behaviors you have are formed by the time you're 5. And 95 of them are formed by the time you're 18. So what's really interesting is it's almost like these questions, are you unlearning all of those behaviors and those patterns that you were like that were wired in you up until you were 18? And then it's like the rest of the process becomes, okay, let me ask this question that's going to like unwind this, you know, belief I was served as a kid that like money's evil and, you know, whatever it is. Or like, you know, if you do something you love, that's impossible. Like, and it's like you start to rewire this version of yourself that was created, maybe, you know, and it's crazy too, because you can have, like, you can grow up in a really good way, but also still have some beliefs and things that like screw you up. You know what I mean? So you have to ask those questions to like unwind it all. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so true, man, because there's that quote that I forget what it is, but it basically says that, like, you know, a lot of times in life, we think that to be happy, we need to become more. We need to do more. Whereas to your point, it's like, no, a lot of the time it's about like undoing the things. It's letting go of the more. It's like cleaning ourselves of the things that aren't us. And that takes a lot of pressure and like a lot of doing. And, you know, I saw a quote the other day that's like, we're all victims of victims. And that sounds really negative, but it's true. I mean, a lot of the things we carry with us, worldviews, conditioning, trauma, comes from childhood. To your point, it is what it is. And it came from our parents' childhood and their childhood and so on and so forth along the family tree. And it's just this wild thing. And I've gotten really into that lately about like the science behind it. And there's this thing called Karpman's drama triangle, which basically outlines the different roles we take in life in response to drama and conflict. Namely, we become a rescuer, we become a victim, we become like a blamer, a persecutor, it's called. And it's just super interesting. Like, we could trace through introspection, like where we got these things, and then we can challenge that conditioning and then in our best way attempt to overcome it. But I think it's really liberating to understand that a lot of the weight we carry, a lot of the worldview we carry, wasn't ours to carry in the first place. And that's not to alleviate ourselves of any blame or responsibility, but I think it makes it a little easier for ourselves to find something we're proud of, willingness to start over in a place that's true to you instead of someone else. Like, I really vibe with that.
Yeah. Love it, man. Damn. Well, we could be here all weekend. But I'm curious, Case, you know, for people that are hanging out with us right now and they're going, man, this dude Case is just spitting the facts and you know, just a cool, what'd you say, aware homie to hang out with. Where can people find more of, you know, you, what you're up to, everything you're doing?
I appreciate that, man. The podcast is called New Mindset Who Dis. It's at anywhere you listen to podcasts, and on social, it's Case Kenny. And then if you want a journal, you can pick up mine, newmindsethudis.com, or pick up anyone. It doesn't have to be mine. It's all good. Yeah. I think it's a really powerful habit, so I'd recommend it.
Love it. All right. And we'll put all that in the show notes, make it real easy for everyone to find. Last question I have for you. We ask this to every guest because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action. Is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this right now can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't want to repeat myself, but I think the exercise of I'm the kind of person who is so powerful, because not only does it describe what you want to do, you're going to use verbs that describe what you want, but it's also going to give you a sense of power. You're going to realize all the things you do. So it's a it's a two for one. So I would sit down in the next 24 to 48 hours and write that out. I'm the kind of person who, and then write as many verb statements as you can. And those verb statements will support whatever adjective. You say happy, then I'm the kind of person who shoots my shot, who does this, who does that, the things that make you happy. And I think you'll realize that not only are you doing a lot of the things, but there's more things that you can control than you likely think. And I think it'll empower you. So it's a kind of a self-run journaling exercise you could do yourself.
Heck yeah. And are you, to clarify, are you writing the, like, I'm the kind of person who, are you writing like, in a year, this is what I aspire to be? Or are you like, this is the kind of person that I am right now?
I think it's kind of half and half. It's aspirational. It's like, to be specific, I would say, sit down and write out, I want to be, and then include an adjective there. Just a similar thing that we all would do, right? I want to be successful, for instance. In order to be that successful person, describe it with the sentence we're talking about here. I'm the kind of person who, I want to be successful. Therefore, I am the kind of person who does 10 cold calls a day, volunteers to go first, always on time, so on and so forth. So it's kind of like a description of who you are in the present, because you realize you do a lot of those things, but it'll be also aspirational in the sense of you'll realize all the things you can do and that you can control. And I love it. I love those kinds of exercises.
Boom. That's it. All right. Well, Case, it's been an honor, man. We've gone through the mind quite a bit. I've enjoyed our conversation a lot. So thank you so much for being here, man. Massively, massively appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man. That was great. Love our chat. Two aware homies just chopping it up.
Just chopping it up. Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. I want you to make sure you give yourself a round of applause, give yourself a pat on the back, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And that is absolutely a thing to be extremely proud about yourself. I want to say thank you for hanging out with Case and I over this next little bit. I hope you got some nuggets. I hope you are starting to maybe twist up the way that you've been thinking about your life and how it's supposed to be. And maybe you're going to start questioning some of the beliefs that you've had. And maybe it's going to take you in another beautiful direction, which is the direction you're meant to go. Maybe it's a new start. Maybe it's something else. But I really do hope you got some value from this episode. I hope you go apply it to your life. And if you enjoyed this show, I would be beyond honored to hear from you. If you liked it, if you didn't like it, let me know. What did you like? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? And the best way to do that is if you go to iTunes, you can leave us a review. All right. I would be extremely excited to hear your thoughts. Let us know what you're enjoying. Again, what you want more of, all the goodness, or maybe just put in there. Actually, let's do this one today. If you leave an iTunes review,
put in there, what was the biggest nugget that you got out of today's episode with Case? What's the biggest nugget you got from today? Share it with us in there. And I'm so excited to read about your biggest takeaway from this episode. All right. If you're not subscribed, make sure you hit that subscribe so we can continue to hang out next time. And other than that, I just want to say thanks again for being here. I appreciate you truly, truly, truly so much. So thank you for being here. Thank you for spending some time with myself today. And other than that, I will see you on the podcast next time. Take care, my friend.